Good evening and Merry Christmas. Good evening and welcome to this celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, tonight we celebrate. We know celebration well, don't we? We celebrate birthdays, anniversaries, homecomings, various holidays throughout the year. Sometimes we just celebrate for the heck of it. As the youngest of three sons, my older brothers would often talk about partying. As a kid, I always wondered, what are you celebrating? I didn't have to become too old to realize that people didn't need a specific reason to celebrate or to party. There's a lot of celebration going on this time of year, isn't there? And I'm not just talking about the holiday season. I'm talking about this specific year, December 2015, there is a whole lot of celebration going on. You see, on December 14th of this year, a new era began. The Force apparently has awakened. Star Wars gear, from t-shirts to costumes to bed linen sets, which I'm hoping for a king size under the tree tomorrow, seem ubiquitous across stores in our country, even and around the world. This is a big deal to a lot of people. I admit, me included. I have not seen the new Star Wars movie, so no spoilers will happen from this pulpit, and I bid you please don't tell me anything. But my question going into this film is, the Force awakens? When was the Force asleep? Return of the Jedi ends with, now I'm going to get nerdy on you here. The Return of the Jedi ends with the defeat of the Empire, including the death of Darth Vader, who just previously killed the evil Emperor. And of course, at the end of the movie, who could forget the gleeful glow of the saints of Yoda, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Anakin Skywalker, smiling on at those at the Rebels' celebration. It seems to me the Empire must be the ones who awake. But perhaps I need to see the movie, and I will. So yes, tonight is a celebration. But it's a different kind of celebration, isn't it? It's different because we are celebrating in a church where certain customs and behaviors are expected. This certainly isn't the kind of celebration tonight where we would buzz around socializing, holding margaritas in our hands. Yes, it's different because we are celebrating a holy event in human history. And no, that's not December 14th when The Force Awakens came out, but rather a holy event in human history that changed everything. A stark difference, however, in the kind of celebration that we encounter tonight as compared to a non-religious celebration like a birthday or New Year's Eve. At least in my experience, this sort of celebration usually is prefaced with a question from someone that says, how long do you think this celebration is going to last? We don't usually hear that on New Year's Eve, do we? But we do in church. But our celebration this night is a cosmic one. What I mean when I say this is that when a human child, one of the most vulnerable creatures on this planet, was born as an intentional act of God, creator of all that is, to foster an intimate relationship with us, all of creation changes. The human condition, with its propensity to seek self-promotion through violence and control, was changed. Our propensity to seek darkness as a way of life was turned around. Love was born unto us anew this day. What more incredible thing can we celebrate? Have you ever seen those bumper stickers on cars that say, "Keep Christ in Christmas"? You've seen them before. Whenever I see or hear short sound bites that presumably seek to wrap up a whole idea that is most likely a complex issue, I get very suspicious. But this little catchphrase, "Keep Christ in Christmas," has some truth to it if we dig a little. For me, the implications of such a short saying has so much more to do with the cosmic and universal impact that God made when Jesus was born into this world than simply making sure we go to church on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Keeping Christ in Christmas, for me, means making room for Jesus in my life. among the almost unbearable crazy rush of a holiday that our Western way of life has created, we hopefully will come to realize that this chaotic rush and busyness of the life of life runs counter to what we celebrate tonight, and indeed for the next 12 days. Now imagine a celebration that does not include loud conversations, music, and crowded rooms, but rather the hush of a cool evening. Mystics and spiritualists say that we meet God not in the noise of life, but in the silence. But there is some irony, however, isn't there, to the quietness of a Christmas Eve for which we yearn, since what we celebrate is the birth of a child to a young couple in challenging circumstances, far from home and far from a quiet evening. The outbuilding in which Jesus was born did not smell of cinnamon brooms or roasting turkey. It was not decorated in lights and bows. It smelled, quite frankly, of animals and hay. The manger, as we usually call it, was a stable where animals ate, among other things. It was no place for a mother about to give birth. It was no place for a newborn, certainly. Mary had every reason to say no to that angel. If she had some way of seeing into the future, to this cold, filthy stable where she would have to give birth to her firstborn, she may have, well, taken a pass. But she did not. Mary, our exemplar of faithfulness and obedience to the divine call, said yes. Taken from scriptural literally, she said to the angel, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." This was a profound act on the part of Mary, one that should inspire us all. We forget what an arduous journey this was for her. Or at least we tend to caricaturize her as someone who pleasantly went through the motions of childbirth, as if that's ever true under the best of circumstances. Remember, there were no pain meds to take, no epidural, and her midwife was a carpenter. But not only did Mary's physical surroundings make it near impossible to go through with this birth, the political climate of the time, with Israel being occupied by Rome, was very dangerous. As the gospel story from Luke's account reminds us, there was a census taking place, and everyone had to go back to the town of their origin. Joseph, belonging to the house and line of David, returned to Nazareth in Galilee with expecting family in tow. Under the most precarious of circumstances is our Savior Christ born. We celebrate Christmas this year in the shadow of terrorism and the horrific loss of life that we seem to hear about every month. Violence, darkness, and death are nothing new to the human experience. And the church actually remembers the slaughter of the innocents on December 28th each year, just 3 days after Christmas Day. The slaughter of the innocents is according to Matthew's gospel when Herod, who asked the wise men about the location of the child who was born, became infuriated when the Magi tricked him by not telling him where the Holy Family could be found. In response, evil Herod ordered all male children under the age of 2 to be killed for fear of losing his power and his throne. No one knows how many children were killed, but the church always honored these children as martyrs. It is into this dangerous world that God enters as a human child, willingly. This is the radical grace of Christmas. Lutheran pastor and author Nadia Bolz-Weber writes, "The Epiphany story of Herod and infanticide reveals a God who has entered our world as it actually exists, and not as the world we often wish it would be. Sometimes we idealize Christmas so much that we forget that God entered in and lived among us just as we are, not the way we wish we were, not that we're Herods, but to separate our reality from God's love and compassion for us, as demonstrated and manifested in Jesus, is to believe that God doesn't love all of who we are. But he does. He loves all of who we are, just as we are, with all our warts and all our scars, wherever those scars might come from. That Jesus Christ is born into humanity means that God has claimed solidarity with us. I'm not saying pretty words on Christmas Eve here. I'm quite serious. The radical grace of Christmas is that God enters fully into our existence and reality when the Christ child is born. Tonight we celebrate what God has done in humanity and what God is doing in humanity. We celebrate a cosmic shift in the history of human life, where light pierces darkness, death is overrun by life, truth prevails, and hope endures. God becomes human, lives and dies as one of us, and raises us to himself, that we too become God's children ourselves. Ponder this truth. Don't try and figure it out. Let the light of this Christ child glow on your doubt and reservations. In the words of Cynthia Kittredge, let us be filled with wonder on this Christmas day. Let us welcome Jesus, splendid guest. Let us be those who receive him. Rejoice that the word and wisdom of God comes in human flesh like ours. Give thanks that our fragile lives are holy and shine with the radiance of God's glory in communion with saints and in company of friends. Celebrate the feast. Merry Christmas. And may the force be with you. Amen.